Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Welcome again, Spectrum. We have someone whose voice you've heard on China America Radio for the last couple of years, but we really haven't had much time to spend with him. But his name is Alex Shi, and he hosts our TAP Pop Corner, TAP being the Taiwan American Professionals, which is a local organization that we've also been affiliated with for the past few years. So you're in a sit-down interview capacity. Alex, welcome to Spectrum rather than Pop Corner.
Thanks, Steve. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so anyway, for our listeners that maybe have followed along for the past few years, TAP-NY.org is your organization. Give me a little background on Taiwan American Professionals, about the genesis of the organization.
Yeah, sure. So TAP has been around for about 6-7 years in New York City. We started out as a relatively small group, but over the past couple of years, we've grown to actually over 6,000 people on our email list. Every month, we hold about 4 to 6 events. They're largely geared toward young Asian American and Taiwanese American professionals. They're generally between the ages of 22 to 35, 40. And we have a really wide range of events. There's social events like happy hours, cultural events like cooking classes, professional events such as networking night and industry series, community service, park cleanups, and volunteering, and also athletics for those individuals interested in getting active and staying healthy.
We had a chance to co-sponsor your 3-on-3 basketball tournament last year, which was a lot of fun. Are there chapters of TAP by the same name or different names in other cities or in other countries?
Yeah, TAP New York is part of a national network. We have a parent organization called TACL, and there's actually a TAP chapter in every major city in the state, across the state. So LA, San Francisco, Boston, DC, Orange County, and even Austin, Texas. We actually meet up with these chapters once or twice a year to share best practices, share ideas, and just learn about each other's cities and have fun. So it really helps us to be part of this connected community to make sure that us at TAP New York are doing a really good job, the best that we can for our members.
So it's called TAP New York, but it is not restricted to people of Taiwan or Taiwanese origin, correct?
Absolutely not. I mean, if the only criteria for coming out to a TAP event is to be interested in Taiwan or whatever we're working on. We've had Chinese Americans, we've had non-Asian Americans, we've had people visiting from other countries that aren't even Taiwan, not America, not Canada, come out to our events, and we're very welcoming to everything. You don't need any prior experience or knowledge about Taiwan, certainly not to partake in stuff that we do, especially field days or enjoy cooking classes or come out and just meet new people at a happy hour, which we call Tappy Hour. So it's very open, welcoming, and we love seeing new faces.
It's not really a membership organization either, is it? You don't have to pay any annual dues. You can just get on the mailing list and then pay for whatever events you want to participate in.
That's right. Yeah, you can sign up for our mailing list at tap-ny.org. And once you're there, you'll be able to see the events that are upcoming. It's generally updated once or twice a month. Some events we do charge for. It's just to help us as a nonprofit organization make up our costs. But other events are free. Coming to happy hours are free, whereas a class, an event like a cooking class might cost $10 to $15 just to cover ingredients and the teacher's expenses.
Let's delve a little bit, because there may be some familiar notes that other listeners might identify with. Your background clearly is that your family hails from Taiwan. Tell me a little bit about your family growing up and where your folks are from and what your influences were early on.
Yeah, so my family is pretty interesting. My dad moved here from Taiwan when he was 16, 17, late teens. My mom was actually born on Long Island, pretty close to here. So she grew up speaking English in her house, and I actually speak English with my parents at home. But for me, there was always a part of me that was interested in where, you know, my heritage is from, obviously that being Taiwan. And the reason, the way that I sort of found that was actually through music. This is a long time ago, back when I was in high school and starting college. But I really got interested in the Taiwan music scene, Taiwanese pop music. And that sort of led me to the current Taiwanese community and just getting more involved in general. Since then, I've been a part of the Taiwanese community, both as a student and as a young professional. And it's really helped me to expand my knowledge of my background and Taiwan in general. The food, not only the music, but also the food, the movies, the other arts, and generally the friendliness of the people.
Well, you've sort of jumped into the Taiwan culture with both feet. Does it frustrate you when you meet other Taiwanese Americans who are not even remotely interested in their cultural heritage?
It's not. I mean, I think as long as everybody as long as the person's interested and open-minded, everybody can get something and they can go as deep as they want into their Taiwanese background, heritage. And even if they're not Taiwanese, they can also, you know, learn about it. And we've certainly had folks like that. You know, when one's identity and how they identify with their background or whatever culture that they may be interested in, that's all a very individual choice. And it's sort of shaped by one's upbringing, background, and ongoing experiences. And so we're here at TAP to sort of facilitate that. For me, as you said, you know, it is a large part of my life and my how I identify. But for others, it might not be to that extent. But TAP is here to help people go as far as they want and take it as far as they want and provide those resources.
You said your mom was originally born in New York State, Long Island. Your dad came relatively young. When did you decide that you wanted to speak Mandarin? And did you learn at home or did you have outside studies, because obviously the home environment was English?
Yeah. So we spoke English at home. My parents did attempt to send me to Chinese school, but as many other ABCs, I didn't try very hard in Chinese school. So really it was when I actually started to get involved or become interested in the Mandarin music scene and also the Mandarin TV scene, like the idol drama scene, that I actually really wanted to enjoy and understand what my favorite artists and actors were saying. So I started to work a little bit online on myself. I eventually took it in college, and my Chinese has actually gotten pretty good now. Am I totally fluent? Not really, but it's definitely enough to get by, and it's definitely enough for me to enjoy everything that I want.
What were your Chinese or Taiwan artists that gave you those early, oh, wow, I like listening to this, I like watching her, I like hearing him moments?
Yeah, I mean, so the first artist, I think one of the first artists that made it onto iTunes, which was a long time ago when iTunes was sort of just coming up, was Jackie Cheng, Zhang Xueyou, and Jay Chou, Zhou Jielun. Those two are sort of the king of Mandarin pop music, and Jackie Cheng is the king of Cantonese music. He's also sang a lot of songs in Mandarin. And for me, it was nice to hear these sounds because they were different from what was American pop music at the time. Not that I didn't enjoy American pop music, but at the time, it was a little more rocky and punky. You think of Green Day, you get more poppy, like Yellow Card. You get a little more dark, like an Evanescence kind of thing. And, you know, by contrast, you had Jay Chou, you had Jackie Cheng here on iTunes singing much quieter, a little more mellow, different themes of more peace and love, and different melodies, all obviously in an interesting language to me that was part of my heritage. And that's what really drew me to it. Being able to carry that sort of dual culture, the Taiwanese side and the American side, whether that be through, for me, it was through music, but it, you know, people can also do it through food or anything else. I think that's very special, and it's part of the Taiwanese American experience and the experience that others who are interested in, you know, Chinese, Taiwanese, Mandarin culture can really benefit from.
What was your first concert, your first big concert where you went to see the artist that you liked?
This is a great question. So I grew up in Connecticut, and upstate in Connecticut, there's a casino. It's called Mohegan Sun, and it's pretty far upstate. And my dad actually took me to a concert by Wang Lihong, Li Hong Wang. And he Li Hong Wang is American. He's an ABC. He grew up in Rochester, New York, so upstate New York. So for this, you know, I really identified with him. Obviously, he has perfect pitch. He's a pop star. But for me, you know, seeing somebody that was really exactly like me and being able to go to that concert was definitely one of my happiest memories growing up. And it was interesting because at the time, I was much younger. I was still in high school. My dad actually took me out there for it. And being able to eventually nowadays share that experience with my friends in TAP has really been a game changer for me.
Have you had a chance to meet any of the artists?
Yeah, I mean, so 2 years ago in 2016, in 2016, I actually had the chance to meet Kimberly Chen at a concert that we sort of co-hosted for TAP New York. That was a lot of fun. She's Australian Taiwanese, so she speaks English. It was very easy for me and my friends as well to communicate with her. She had a song that came out in, I think it was 2013 or 14. It topped the charts in Taiwan for, you know, at least 3 months, I think. It was called I Need or Love You. And being able to see her, talking to her, she's very down to earth. It was a lot of fun, and it was sort of like a dream come true. And it, for me personally, it was like I started out in this time of my life in high school and middle school where I didn't really speak Chinese at all, and finally being able to connect with on a very personal level this, you know, singer who's pretty big in Taiwan was a real big deal for me.
And then since then, I know you've rubbed shoulders with some of the artists that have come into China America Radio. We've had a number of artists that have come in for Taiwan showcases, and at the Taiwan Trade Center, there have been some artists that have come in there. So it's kind of old hat. We've had, you know, 831 and Boxing and IO Band and how many others, in the future.
I mean, IO Band especially, I love their stuff. I mean, you can, I encourage everybody to check them out on YouTube, especially. I mean, they're certainly available on some things like Spotify and on China America Radio, but on YouTube as well, you can see that music video, and you get great scenes in New York. It's just a really great scene, and it has been a privilege to be able to interact with and meet these folks.
I think May Day's been in and out of New York at least three times in the neighborhood, and you just reviewed their newest CD. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, their newest CD is, I think it's one of their best ones yet. When you think about May Day, Yue Tian, you think that they've been around for, gosh, at this point, 10, 15, maybe even more years. You hear their original sound. It's got a young, upbeat, hopeful kind of feel. And then you're thinking about their most recent CD. It's still uplifting, but it feels adult. It feels evolutionary. It feels mature. And being able to hear that, especially, you know, some of the songs, Xiongdi, especially on there, and how it sort of all the tracks sort of mesh together in a really nice way to sort of tell a story, it's something really special. And especially with May Day, I mean, I think May Day in Taiwan and especially, but outside of Taiwan more so, a lot of their message and their music has really been able to resonate. And I've spoken with my Chinese friends, Chinese American, Taiwanese American, Malaysian, Singaporean, you know, everybody, that kind of thing. They all know May Day, and it's, in a way, it's really a testament to music being a universal language across, you know, cultures, and for May Day, the Mandarin music across many parts of Asia.
I know when I was in Taipei in December, there were huge May Day posters promoting the May Day Life tour all in the subway stations and all over the city. So I always look forward. I've seen them two or three times myself. Well, our guest is Alex Shi. Alex is with a local organization here in New York called TAP, which is Taiwan American Professionals, and their website is tap-ny.org. So Alex, I want to thank you for coming in and spilling your beans to us this time, and we look forward to hearing you again on some of the other music programs here on China America Radio. And safe travels, and say hi to anybody at TAP, and we hope that you'll keep visiting us whenever you have a chance.
Thanks, Steve. I'll see everybody around.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio, a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinaamericaradio.com.